Well, good evening. I guess if I may make a tiny announcement, I'm trying to find out more information on our Singspiration sign-up so we can do it last Sunday evening in July, the 30th. Yeah, so, but I still need to find all that sign-up information, but just to throw that out there. Yeah. Well, if you would, stand if you can. We're going to start off by singing Shout to the Lord. Amen. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone, like a rose trampled on the ground. took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man. You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth.
Up
beside us to guide us, our God with us joining, ordaining, maintaining his kingdom divine. So from the beginning, the fight we were winning, thou, Lord, wast at our side. All glory be thine. We all do exalt thee, thou leader triumphant, and pray that thou still our defender wilt be. Let thy congregation escape tribulation, thy name be ever praised. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We've got a couple of pick a hymns here this evening. I haven't turned to them yet, but the first one is 635. I'll see what that's called. In the Garden on 635.
I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
Amen. And our other one is 690. He leadeth me on 690.
He leadeth meaneth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp thy hand in mine, nor ever murmur, nor repine. Content whatever lot I see, since 'tis thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by thy grace the victory's won, e'en death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by his hand he leadeth me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Any others this evening? All right. Praise the Lord.
Hey. I think I can see everybody from here. Hello, hello. Hello, hello. All right. Want to thank you. Good to see everybody tonight. Amen. Have a few announcements for you this evening. Of course, we got Vacation Bible School starting just in 2 days on the Tuesday, 18th, 19th, and 20th from 6 to 8. So be in prayer for that. We'll pray for that tonight for sure. Workers need to be here at what time, Miss Loopy?
If they can get here by 5:30.
5:30. Be here by 5:30. Okay. Very good. All right. And then game night, that's from 6 to 9. That is next Saturday, or 6 to 8 or 6 to 9? 6
to
9. 6 to 9.
Game night.
You night owl, 6 to 9. All right. All right, see. Bring a friend, bring a snack. Amen, bring a friend, bring a snack. Game night, 6 to 9.
Only 4 of us showed up last time.
Huh?
Only 4 of us showed up last time.
All right. Did y'all pin the tail on the donkey? Oh my soul. Oh my soul. I bet if you went up to A&M you'd get a lot of people doing that. All right, and then next Sunday AM we're gonna have a potluck fellowship. Potluck fellowship following the AM service. I'll try to get Stephanie to bring her. It's coming Sunday. Following the AM service. Following the AM service. Next. All right. Next Sunday AM, following that service, we'll have a potluck fellowship. And that's what it is. It's potluck. So you want to eat it, you better bring it. Bring your best dish. Let's see it. And because of that, in lieu of that, we will not have PM service. We'll be here for quite a while on that AM. So no PM service next Sunday night. All right, so game night Saturday, potluck on Sunday, VBS starting this Tuesday. Got it?
Got it.
All right, Frank, check it out, man.
Tomball night August 4th
coming up. Wouldn't it be great this August if it turned cool? That would be, That would be a miracle. August 4th, Tomball Night. When does that start?
5 o'clock, I believe.
Yeah. How much? What time?
About 5 o'clock.
5 p.m.? Are they doing fireworks?
I think so. They usually do. Yeah, that's usually
do they pop them down at Kroger like they did for 4th?
No, just on Tomball Night, they do them on the other side of the railroad tracks.
Okay. So people can see them there, I guess.
Right.
And that goes 5 p.m. to?
9.
I'm going to pray for cool weather. Cool weather and rain, amen? All right. So what do we have in the area of praises?
Anyway, I got any praises today?
Yes, ma'am.
The movie Sound of Freedom I heard was number one.
The movie Sound, what now?
Sound of Freedom.
Sound of Freedom.
Yes.
Okay.
It's a movie made by Christians addressing the child abduction situation.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And I was wondering if maybe a lot of people at the church would want to get together and all go. And also have a praise and a prayer request.
Okay.
The praise is not my daughter. I thought it had already happened, but she's officially gotten her autism diagnosis, and that will help her in a lot of ways. And so also the prayer request is my daughter's autistic, so.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Jennifer and John's daughter, Jessica, got her autism diagnosis official. And then pray for Jessica with autism. Okay.
Well, praise for Kevin. Praises, right?
Yeah, praises.
Kevin, his test come back, so it's good. It's not no cancer.
No cancer.
So he's just got to get to stand out and just change his lifestyle and pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Stand out and lifestyle changes. All right. What else?
I just want to praise the Lord. My sister...
Rosemary.
So she has decided to go ahead and get that testing done. I mean, not testing, but that procedure, the monoclonal antibodies.
Uh-huh.
And what I found out was it doesn't just detect new cancer cells, it kills them. So once that's in your system, it just anything that'll come up, it'll kill them, because she had a very aggressive type cancer, and the doctor said it. If it comes back, it could come back worse, and you will wish you had this. So she made that decision. I'm glad that God gave her peace. What happened? She said that.
And it's pain. The reason people don't get it done is because it's painful.
Yes, it brings you back into almost like it can bring you back into almost like when you were doing chemo.
Okay.
And she was just tired of being sick, but she prayed. She said, and she said, Lord, if you know, because they had already told her most of the times insurance companies don't cover this. That's why they don't. A lot of people don't get it.
All right.
So they weren't thinking that it would cover. But she said, Lord, well, and she told the doctor, well, if the Lord wants me to get it, I'm going to pray that the insurance will cover it. Well, lo and behold, she found out that real quickly her insurance covered it.
Well, who's her insurance with? That sounds
I'm not sure, but it was, and she doesn't, I know it's not one of the mainstream ones. That was kind of odd. So she just thought, well, the Lord's just showing me. She has peace about it now.
Amen.
I was thankful for that.
All right.
Oh, and thankful for the lady that came to the VBS room a little bit earlier. Her name is Donna Satin, and she wants to come visit the church. She's passed by here many times. And so she said they were supposed to come today, but it didn't work out. But she wants to bring her grandkids to VBS, and she said she's coming next Sunday with her husband.
Amen. Okay.
They live right down the road.
Right down the road.
Amen.
All right, man. VBS visitor. What else?
Praise all the ladies that decorated for VBS.
Yeah.
They did such a great job.
VBS decorations.
Really nice. You know, A+.
Frankie, have you seen it over there? You ought to check it out, man. You think you're back in the Wild West.
Yeah, it is Wild West.
I walked in there, and I was feeling around for a six-shooter. I thought maybe I had one on. Yeah, Matt Dillon. Yeah. It looks good over there. All right, decorations. What else? Any other praises?
Well, praise the Lord for all His many blessings. Just being blessed.
All His many blessings. Thank you, Lord, man.
You're blessed when you don't know it. You know. Amen.
I'm praising Him that I don't have a clone that has a potty mouth.
That's right. Yeah.
All His many blessings. Some of y'all finally get that joke.
I giggled when you said it this morning.
All right, there you go. That's a dad joke if you didn't know what a dad joke was. All right. Prayer requests. Let's do it.
Well, I guess I'll start off. Let's pray for my daughter, Jamie. Thursday morning, 7:30, she's going in to check out this mask.
Going to have biopsy?
Yes, sir. And just pray that everything goes well with that.
And what day is it?
Thursday.
Thursday.
About 7:30 in the morning. And just, huh? You have surgery, too, that day. Same, all in one. How do you do that? I don't know, anyway.
They're going to remove the mask and then biopsy it?
Yeah,
I mean,
the oncologist has to be there during surgery, so they do what they do after.
Where's she having surgery at?
She's kind of quiet, late girl.
She's real private?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a toughie.
All right. 7:30. Were you going to try to be there?
We're trying to find out where it's at, brother. Slip on in.
Yeah, slip on in there, man.
I'll be calling her husband when she's in surgery and say, "Where are you?"
Yeah. There you go. You don't have her track, do you? Do you have her on Life 360? Okay. I got my kids on Life 360.
Wait, this one here is 45.
45.
45 is on your track.
Yeah. Kind of hard to track them when they're 45, isn't it?
45 years old.
All right, Brother Ronnie.
Yeah, Miss Davlin.
Davlin? You know,
she's still in a lot of pain. And Miss Vicky's got an MRI on her lungs this week, isn't it? Yeah. Tuesday.
Tuesday, you got MRI on your lungs, Miss Vicky? Huh? The left lung? What's going on? You don't know.
Oh,
all right.
Wow.
Said it was weak. All right. What else? Prayer needs.
Oh, we got some over here. We got
Baker family.
Baker family.
And what's our request, Ryan? Siblings.
Amen.
Okay. Very good.
For some reason, John got a federal jury summons, and I got a week before a local Magnolia one. I don't know why they're picking on us, but...
Because you're new.
Is that
it? You guys are new to the county. They're just spreading the love.
So if we get picked, just that God would give us discernment, because I'm not good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I'm just.
And all right, John, Jennifer.
Well. We're both kind of goons, so.
Do you have one?
All right, very good. What else?
If we can pray for that. So Colin and Ryan were in that accident. We were thanking the Lord last week that they made it out okay. But now we're dealing with insurance. So they did total the truck, but so Colin's driving my little Toyota now. And just pray that it could work out quickly so we can get the money back from it, you know, the whatever they're going to give us, so we can get it, put, you know, get another vehicle for him.
Yeah.
Because insurance sometimes can drag along.
Now, you know you can fight what they want to offer you, right?
Yeah.
I try to tell people this every time. Don't ever take the first offer.
I let Robert handle all of it.
Tell Robert, don't take the first offer.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
And then praying for Robert and Colin for their spiritual needs. And my brother Richard and sister-in-law Maritza, they came to church last week.
Yeah.
Lord's still dealing with their hearts. And he actually left his cup here. So I'm like, see, you got to come back.
So this is Richard and...
Richard and Maritza.
Maritza?
Uh-huh. He's still searching, and I believe he, you know, so pray the Lord would keep drawing him. All right, thank you.
Amen.
Jeremiah, I got one.
Yeah, Sharon Heibarger, Justin is doing great, but having some leg pain.
Okay. Well, his poor little body's got to adjust to all that muscle he's put on, man. Y'all remember, anybody have a growth spurt like that? I had a growth spurt like that going in junior high. I put on all this weight and muscle, man. My shins, oh, my soul, they hurt like a dick. Right? Amen. All right, Justin Heibarger, we'll pray for him.
And then from Sharon, continued recovery for Kinsey and family restoration.
All right, Kinsey. All right.
Well, we want to lift up John and his health, and lift up him and his kids too, going through this service, funeral service, and the loss of the mother, and
yes,
that kind of stuff. You know, be with Ron Wade too. A lot of stuff going on in that, but we lift them up.
God.
And I got to pray for the Ronnies, man. We got a lot of Ronnies, Ronnie.
Ronnie
Thacker
and Ronnie.
And his health, you know, and Ronnie Holman and Nancy. And I can go on and lift up Brother Bobby here in his situation, you know. And all the, again, I always want to lift them up, the ones that are drug addictions, you know.
Yes.
Fighting that just to get back their life. The devil's trying to take their life away. Comes to kill, steal, and destroy, right, Brother Lee?
Yeah, so we're praying Amen. For Kevin.
Kevin's and little Stevie Fountain.
Stevie Fountain?
Stevie, his name is Stevie, and his dad's name is Steve Fountain. Both of them have alcohol issues. They don't know they're being prayed for. But
they don't know they're being prayed for. They're getting it.
They're getting it from James.
They're getting a double dose.
That's right.
All right, Stevie and Steve, father
yeah,
and son.
Yeah, and we got Paul and Vince's son, Jacob.
Jacob.
Yes.
All right. Anything else? Okay. All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let me get a quick drink of water here. Yeah. Unspoken. Those of you with unspokens, yeah. All right. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. We thank you for the joys and the blessings of life. Thank you for all you do for us, Lord, and how you provide for us. Lord, we're thankful for this day. We're thankful for this air conditioning. We praise you for it, Lord. Thank you that we have the miracle to cool air to a comfortable degree. We just praise you for that right now. Lord, we're praying for rain. We're praying for cooler temperatures, Lord. We're praying this high pressure system they talk about lasting and lingering around for several more days. We pray by the hand of God you might break it up and bring some cooler weather this way and give some relief to the flooding up in the northeast. Lord, we pray you just shake things up in the weather map. And Lord, let these prognosticators and weathermen know that there's a higher authority. They may show it on their map, may have it on a 10-day forecast, but you're still in control. And Lord, we pray that you spare life in the northeast with the floods and that you bring some of that rain down here. And that, Lord, some of these crazy hot temperatures would go by the wayside. Lord, you can do it. It's your world. You own it. You designed it, created it. So, Lord, we're just lifting that up to you tonight. Right here in the small little Baptist church, Lord, we faith of a mustard seed. We want to move a mountain, Lord. So we want to move a high-pressure mountain off of us and break that thing up. So, Lord, we have faith. We believe in. And, Lord, we pray you work in a mighty way. Lift these praises up to you, Lord. This movie that's come out, Sound of Freedom, we thank you for Christian movie makers and a Christian movie message, getting out the word, trafficking of people, and how that needs to stop. So, Lord, we give you praise for that. We lift up Jessica to you tonight. We praise you that her autism diagnosis has been confirmed, but, Lord, in the same breath. We pray for her as she deals with being autistic. So, Lord, give her what she needs and lead, guide, and direct her, and just help her work through that diagnosis and rise above in areas and learn to lean on different things and for other areas, Lord. So we just pray you work there in her life. We're thankful that Kevin, we give you praise that Kevin does not have cancer. We praise you that he's cancer-free. And, Lord, we pray that his body continue to heal and this stent would be removed from his body. And that, Lord, you would help him make the necessary lifestyle changes that he needs to make. Lord, we're thankful that Rosemary is cancer-free. Give you praise and glory and honor for that. Answer to prayer. Lord, we acknowledge that. We just thank you for that. We pray that you just prepare her body to receive this monoclonal antibody treatment. The sickness that may come from that, Lord, we just pray you help her get through that. And then, Lord, we pray that this treatment would be somewhat of an insurance policy within her body, that any cancer that pops up would be destroyed. So, Lord, we're just thankful for that. Pray your hand upon Rosemary. Lord, we're thankful for this visitor to our VBS setup next door. Thank you for Donna and her willingness to bring her and her family to church here. Lord, we pray that they'd be blessed by the service, Lord, and we pray it be your perfect will they fit here. Then, Lord, just fit them on in here, Lord. So we're thankful for visitors. Thankful for visitors this morning. Lord, we're thankful for all the woman hours and man hours that have gone in next door and decorating for VBS. We pray that what goes on there Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday would bring glory and honor to your name. And Lord, would sow seeds of the gospel in the hearts of children. And then, Lord, as they take that back to their families, it'd make an impact even on their moms and dads, grandparents, all the such. Lord, thank you for all your many blessings. We praise you for that. Lord, we lift up Jamie to you tonight. We pray for this biopsy and surgery that she's going to be having this coming Thursday at 7:30 in the morning. Lord, we pray you guide the surgeon's hands. We pray they get all the mass. Lord, we pray that you would give us a good, treatable diagnosis. We first pray it's not cancer. But, Lord, if it is, we pray it be a treatable form. And they'd be able to nip it in the bud and just take care of it, Lord. So we're just praying. We're praying for zero cancer, praying for benign mass. But, Lord, if it happens to be that cancer, Lord, we pray that it's treatable and that you can see this girl through. We lift up Ronnie to you tonight. We pray for his health, Lord, and pray for his pancreas, praying for his feet and his ears. And Lord, the many struggles that he has physically, we lift him up to you tonight. Pray you just help him get around, help him have comfort, help him have rest. We lift up Miss Marilyn to you, Lord, and we pray you'd heal her body. You'd help her get over the cellulitis, and this infection would get out of her body. And, Lord, you'd give her strength. Lord, this pain that she's experiencing, you'd help her get over that as well. We lift up Ronnie and Nancy Holman to you, Lord, and we're praying for Ronnie's cancer fight. And, Lord, we've heard of these miracles of people being delivered from cancer and being set free from it. Lord, we're praying that for Ronnie. Holman, Lord, we're praying you should remove that cancer from him and that you give him a testimony of healing. So, Lord, we just lift Ronnie up to you. Pray for Nancy. Keep her safe as she cares for him. We lift up Miss Vicky to you, Lord, and this MRI that she's going to be receiving on Tuesday to try to diagnose something going on with her left lung. We pray that there's not anything serious, not anything severe wrong with her, Lord, but we pray that this would be resolved as she goes and receives this MRI. We lift up the Baker family, Ryan's siblings, Lord, and we praying that there would be a comeback, a coming back to Jesus, and a coming back to church, Lord, and a stirring in their heart, stirring in their soul and in their mind, Lord. As we talked about today, God draws us, and so, Lord, we pray you draw them, and that they would respond appropriately to being drawn back by the Holy Spirit. Lord, we lift up John and Jennifer, as they both received a summons for juries. Lord, we pray you lead, guide, and direct in that situation. And Lord, give them the answers they need and give them the wisdom they need to step up to that that's a big deal, federal jury, Lord. So we just lift them up in that situation. We pray for Colin's insurance payout for his truck. Lord, I pray that you'd help Robert be Lord, be shrewd with the insurance companies, because they, Lord, you know, they're in the business of making money, not paying claims. So, Lord, help Robert make them do the right thing, at least get as much from the insurance company that truck is truly worth. So, Lord, we just lift that situation up to you. We lift up Richard and Maritza and their spiritual needs, Lord, and we pray that you would draw them to a church home. And, Lord, we pray and it be this one, but selfishly we pray and it be this one. But, Lord, we just want them in church. We want them growing. We want their spiritual needs met. So, Lord, we lift up Richard and Maritza tonight. We lift up Justin, Lord, and we're praying for his legs. He's got a little bit of a setback. He's put on some bulk and becoming a young man and just growing. And so, Lord, we just pray that you'd help his body adjust to all that. And these old shins heal up from that, Lord. So we lift old Justin up to you. We lift up Kenzie, and we're praying for Kevin and Stevie and his dad, Steve, and Paul and Jacob. We're praying for these that struggle with addiction. And, Lord, we're thankful that Kenzie's on the path to recovery. We pray for these other folks that they would get on that same path. And then, Lord, for Kenzie, we're praying that you would help her with this family restoration, bringing her family back together. Lift up John and his health to you, Lord, and we're praying for his back and his body as he just continues to go for the Lord and do all he can for the kingdom. So, Lord, we just pray and you touch his body, bring healing to him. Be with his kids. Be with Ron Wade and the loss of their mother and Ron's sister, Lorna. Lord, we know that absent from the body is present with Christ, but, Lord, if we ever lose someone, it's always a day too soon. Always wanted another day with them. And, Lord, there's a hole in us. And so, Lord, we pray in that you would begin to fill that absence. You begin to fill that void with your grace and your peace and your love. And just see these kids through, Lord. And let them lean upon each other and lean upon the Lord. And just be strength. Let them lean upon their dad and get through this difficult time. And we know Lorna would want them to go on. But, Lord, help them as they miss their mom. Comfort them. Help them. We lift up Brother Bobby to you tonight in recovery from his carotid artery surgery. Lord, we pray you bring healing to him and let that part of his body heal in such a way that there's not any bad scar tissue pushing on those arteries, Lord, causing any more issues. We just pray you see Brother Bobby through there. And then, Lord, we're thankful for your word tonight. We're thankful that we can be in it. And, Lord, as we talk about where we've been and where we're at as a nation, we don't want this to end negatively, Lord. We want this to be an opportunity of being the best church we can be, the opportunity of being prayer warriors, the opportunity of taking the gospel outside these four walls. So, Lord, help us have a realistic view of where we've been and where we're at as a country. But Lord, help us know that there's power in the blood. And there's power in the gospel. And it just takes the faith of a mustard seed. And so, Lord, sometimes we have to say, I believe. Lord, help my unbelief in this situation. And help me rise above and help me pray this through. So, Lord, help us in these areas. Thank you now that we can get in your word. Speak to us. Thank you for your presence here. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said? All right. We are in Leviticus chapter 18. We've been covering verses 6 through 29. And it's a difficult passage because it deals with, you know, anytime you talk about money in church, it gets tense. Anytime you talk about sex, it gets tense. So, we're not talking about money, but we have been talking about sex. And it gets tense. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us as well. And those of you trying to figure out what you stumbled into online, it's a church, we preach all of it. So buckle up and hold on. We'll be through it in a little bit and be on to the next chapter. Amen? Well, Leviticus 18, 6 through 29, but basically what we've been talking about, that God has the right to do what? He has the right as the sovereign. He has the right as the King of Kings. He has the right as the one who spoke all this into being. He has the right to do what? Set the boundaries on sex. And that's what he's done. Amen? We began this particular study on the remainder of Leviticus chapter 18, verses 6 through 29, by saying that this passage has a very simple structure, a very simple message. It's not very complicated. I was reading out of the NIV last week because it really made it really clear. I'm back in the New American Standard Version tonight and reading these other passages that we're dealing with. But if you're really confused about what's going on in Leviticus 18, 6 through 29, bust you out or look it up. New International Version. It just makes it explicitly clear what the Bible is saying to us. Now, it's a simple structure, simple message. This extended passage intent is to define the boundaries of godly human sexual relationships. That's where we've been at. That's what we're talking about again tonight. When it comes to sexual relationships, we said there are three of them, three boundaries, if you will, which we will call the inner boundary, the middle boundary, and the outer boundary of godly sexuality. Now, verses 6 through 18 define the inner boundary, prohibiting sexual relationships with close relatives. And then when we get to verses 19 and 20, that define the middle boundary, which limits sexual relations within marriage, okay, and prohibits them outside of marriage, right? And then verses 21 and 23, or 21 through 23, define the outer boundary of unnatural sexual relations. Verses 24 through 29, kind of an addendum, an addition to all that, tells us about God's judgment upon a nation that crosses these boundaries. Now, as I closed it out Wednesday night, you remember, I made one observation. So I was just going to make one observation. The first observation was this: the close relative laws, we said, in the Bible, are the most detailed and severely punished of all similar laws in ancient times. Cultures have had these kinds of laws. You go to this culture, that culture, they all got them. But this is the most detailed and this is the most severely punished of all of those cultures of all times, right? We said this is significant because a nation's laws, because we as a nation have adopted a lot of these, a nation's laws will protect what its people consider important, right? And so the law of the Lord tells us by its exactness and severity what He, God the Father, considers most important. And from this section of Scripture, we must conclude that the Lord values the family and He really values that husband and wife relationship, which we have referred to over and over again by calling it one flesh. He values the one flesh principle very highly. Second, the second observation as we begin afresh tonight, nowhere in the Bible, are you ready for this? Nowhere in the Bible is compatibility ever a criterion for a relationship. Now, ad nauseum, how young people do the deal today, right? We're going to live together for a while, see how this works out. See if we're compatible. Yeah, okay. Well, you do it man's way, and you're going to reap man's consequences. Second observation, nowhere in the Bible is compatibility ever a criterion for a relationship. Now, this is somewhat off the main subject of the text, but it is illustrated by the fact mentioned earlier that Israel had no such thing as premarital sex. You had sex with somebody, in the eyes of God, you were what? One flesh, right? So, in the illustration of Isaac and Rebekah, Abraham did what? Send his servant off to find a wife for his son Isaac, right? Isaac had no choice in the matter. He was expected to marry. Now, I'm not saying we need to go back to arranged marriages by any means. Online folks, not saying we ought to go back to arranged marriages by no means. Just trying to set the context here. Isaac had no choice in the matter. Praise the Lord, we had some choice. Amen? We had some choice. He was expected to marry Rebekah and to live with her and to love her. In addition, the brother who must marry his dead brother's wife and the wife who must marry her dead husband's brother also illustrated. They got to carry on that man's name who passed away. This marrying by sexual intercourse to preserve the dead husband's name and his lineage was an obligation that they were to fulfill whether they liked each other or not. Make sense? What is God after? Remember? He's after godly offspring. That's what he's after. He's after godly offspring. What do godly offspring do? They carry on the word. That's what he's after, right? Now, we in our sentimentality, we in our sentimentality, maybe we think more highly of ourselves. We think our memories, the memory of who we are, ought to go on generation after generation after generation. What have I often told you? You be remembered for 3 generations, right? But what does go on? That gospel, the word of God, the truth. Amen? See, the Lord expects us, going back to this compatibility thing, the Lord expects us to get along with each other and to compensate in love. There's that word again. Love for differences and conflicts, man. If I could have one session with every couple before they get hitched, I'd be talking about that. Love covers a multitude of stuff, man. Don't it? Amen? Love will cover it, right? Third observation. Second observation, nowhere in the Bible is compatibility ever a criterion for a relationship. Third observation, I've emphasized how these laws relate to the question, who can I marry? Legitimate question back here in Old Testament times. Who can I marry, right? I've been dealing with that. In order to show the one flesh, how the one flesh principle applies, I've already mentioned that these laws also pertain to more secretive violations of incest, but I will defer this once more until later. I'm going to get there, right? So as we continue on, we've talked about this what? This first boundary. Now we're going to deal with this middle boundary of godly sexuality, verses 19 through 20. You got your Bibles open? Also, you shall not approach a woman to uncover her nakedness during her menstrual impurity. You shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. Did I read 18? Did I not give? No, just 19 and 20. All right. You shall not have intercourse with your neighbor's wife to be defiled with her. Verses 19 and 20 limit when you may have sexual intercourse with your wife, and they also prohibit adultery. Now, we're referring to these laws as the middle boundary of godly sexuality. Verse 19 prohibits having intercourse with your wife during the uncleanness of her monthly period. What's going on here? All discharges from the body are considered ceremonially unclean, and the woman's monthly flow is no exception. We've covered this ad nauseum in detail in earlier parts of Leviticus. Obedience to this law relates specifically to holy living within the Mosaic covenant. Now, there are 2 ways a man can violate this. One is accidentally, in which case he is unclean for 7 days, as is the woman. And the other is the deliberate act of having sexual intercourse during her period. And this is to be, back then, punished by death. The issue here is fundamentally one of holiness. The Lord has said the woman is ceremonially unclean and to purposely come in contact with an unclean woman was to violate the holiness of God. Therefore, it was strictly forbidden. Now, are we under that same kind of stipulation today? Pastor, is this a moral law or is this a ceremonial law? It's more of a ceremonial law. The marriage bed is undefiled and all that jazz, but you let the Old Testament speak to you and the Holy Spirit kind of lead and guide you in that area. I'm just telling you the context of verse 19. Verse 20 prohibits having intercourse with your neighbor's wife. Now we're back to the moral law, right? And it is an important transitional verse because a change in a person's concept of sexuality must occur before he can imagine and then commit adultery. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, the change is this. Adultery denies the concept of what? One flesh. It denies the concept of one flesh. It is failing to recognize that the person that you are committing adultery with is one flesh with another person. Make sense? See, make sense? See, adultery divorces sexual intercourse from marriage and it elevates it to an independent status all its own. That's what's wrong with the country we're living in. You get that, right? Amen? See, adultery focuses on sexual fulfillment as a goal rather than a byproduct of a relationship. Sexual fulfillment is a byproduct of a relationship. Two people covenanting with God, coming together physically, male and female, as they were created to be. Amen? But oh, no, no, no. No, the devil, the demonic, the flesh. It got us a key on sexual fulfillment as its own deal, right? Its own deal. Now, think this through with me. Think this through, right? How unfair. Because you didn't have anything to do with your birth, did you? Anybody have anything to do with their birth? No, you were just there, weren't you? You missed a good message today, Frank. Yeah, you missed a good message today, man. How unfair it is to the child produced by an adulterous relationship. He or she did not ask to be born into that kind of situation. He or she did not ask to be born into that kind of family dynamic. So I'll ask you again, who suffers most when we get away from God's word in regards to sexual relations in the confines of marriage? I'll answer that question for you. The children suffer the most. Amen? That's right. Don't ever forget that. Verse 20 is transitional, a transitional verse. What's going on? Well, if a society struggles with the inner, middle, and outer boundaries of godly sexuality, the one that falls first is usually the middle boundary that collapses first in that society, the middle boundary. Once the middle boundary has collapsed, the outer and inner boundaries collapse soon afterward. Now, I'm bringing this to your attention now, before I discuss the outer boundary, because the outer boundary is best understood from the viewpoint of the collapse of the middle boundary and its effect on society and the land. So let's take a run at it. We've covered the inner. We've looked at the middle. Let's say a few things about the outer boundary, and then we'll be dismissed. The outer boundary of godly sexuality. I want to begin by saying this. At one point in our nation's history, the three boundaries of godly sexuality were firmly established from a cultural viewpoint. You agree with that? Okay? Now, I'm not blind to the history of our country. I studied American history in college. I know my history somewhat. I understand that individuals within our American experience through the years have disregarded God's word. It's not all been just one big revival in our country. For example, what is the oldest institution? What is the oldest occupation? Prostitution. It's been here, right? Incest has been here. Homosexuality and rape, they've all been here. Still going on. But for the most part, in our nation's earlier years, both our laws on the books and a popular consensus of the people supported these three boundaries on godly sexuality. Would you agree? Amen? This included a family based on the Judeo-Christian affirmation of one husband and one wife. Now, there is an exception to that. The Mormons, within our borders, out in Utah, this was even higher than the Jewish marriage, because American marriages were built on one man and one woman. But they had their deal in Utah. Still got their deal going on in Utah. Now, does anybody know? I could tell you one reason why it's not going on, but does anybody have any other ideas why polygamy waned, kind of went away in New Testament times? Anybody got an idea why polygamy kind of went by the wayside? Jealous wives. Yeah. Huh? There you go. Okay, that's good. I like that. Amen. Anybody else? The ancient practice of polygamy was abandoned through the teaching of Jesus and the effective ministry of the Holy Spirit in the lives of men. That's why we're away from it, right? I mean, when you got Jesus in you, when you're really saved up, and you comprehend, and you know what it means to be loved, right? I mean, you're trying to wrap your head around it. God loved me so much, He sent His Son down the cross for my sins. All of that stuff. When you are loved, you know how to love, right? And how can one man love two, three, four women at the same time? Right? Impossibility, right? Now, how did that middle boundary crumble? Well, we study our history towards the beginning of the last century, the 1900s, if you will. Our nation, following the lead of Europe, adopted the doctrines, maybe you've heard this, maybe you haven't. It's called higher criticism. Anybody ever heard higher criticism? What in the world is higher criticism? Higher criticism began to tear away at the Bible. Now, just to catch you up on your theological truths, I ask the question, what is higher criticism? I answer the question, at the heart and the root of higher criticism is a denial of divinely inspired Scripture, right? The whole conservative resurgence of the Southern Baptist Convention way back in the day, beginning about mid-70s and going all the way through the 2000s, early 2000s, was all based on what is inspired and what is not inspired, right? Is the Bible inspired? Amen! The Bible is inspired. But higher criticism wants to debate that. Higher criticism wants to look at the Word of God, especially these moral laws, and say, well, you know, I'm not so quite so sure. Maybe that's not inspired. Let's just look at the words of Jesus in the Gospels, the red words of Jesus in the Gospels, and let's just say, those are inspired. But the rest of this stuff, Paul's epistles, all this history in the Old Testament, the wisdom literature, the prophecies, the prophets, that's higher criticism. Beginning to strip away, tear away from the Bible. Now, your answer was that the Bible is what? Inspired, yes? Their answer was no, it was not inspired. Or at least portions were not inspired. And we, as higher critics, not me, but they as higher critics, are going to show you which sections you can trust and which sections you can cut out and disregard. And I've mentioned before, I'll say it again, Wally Amos, pastor of First Baptist Church Dallas, he would get on this topic and he would literally take a Bible and start ripping pages out of it in front of the people and say, are we taking this out? And he just grabbed sections of Scripture in the Old Testament, start ripping it out right in front of people's eyes, trying to make the point. That's what they were doing. Now, at the same time, science embraced the theory of evolution and turned away from God. The church, in the midst of this higher criticism, in the midst of science embracing this theory, the church, caught by surprise, retreated pulled into its walls and disconnected itself from our culture. The church, then for quite a few years, was no longer an active force. Well, guess what? When you neuter all the pulpits and you pull it all in and you say, we're going to stick together and not be a force out there, what does it do? You no longer are the salt of the earth. The church is no longer the salt. And so what happens? People were set free from God. They were set free from any accountability to the Word of God. They were set free from hearing the gospel. They were set free. And shortly thereafter, sexual intercourse was set free from marriage. Sex became autonomous. Sex became recreational. Somewhere, someone got the idea that romantic attraction was the proper foundation for a lasting relationship, and they sold that idea to us, and the American people bought it hook, line, and sinker. And so the movie makers and the entertainers and the actors and the actresses and the artists and the novelists and the writers, they were the evangelists of this. They were the great communicators of this message. And just look at your cinematic history. Just look at these people that have come before us in Hollywood. These entertainment folks, they were the first to suffer not a divorce, but strings of divorces and remarriages and all kinds of family drama and all kinds of scarred kids and all kinds of just junk. But we ignored, mostly, the country, ignored the evidence, and we accepted the lie. And so the middle boundary began to collapse. And when the middle boundary collapses, what did I say? The inner and the outer boundaries are soon to follow. Now, what do we do with that? Well, it's 7:06. I got to kind of land the plane. But what do we do with that? Well, we got a 2 Chronicles 7:14, that thing. Amen. You got to make it a matter of prayer, right? Amen. We know in studying the book of Revelation who wins in the end. Amen. We know who comes out on top. And so we know this is not our home. We know we're just passing through. But you know what else we ought to know? We may be passing through. But we ought to leave it better than we found it. Amen? We ought to leave it better than we found it. And one of the ways we can do that is pray. Amen? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, my people who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Amen? Let's pray tonight. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you. And Lord, we confess the sins of our nation. We confess the sins of where we've gone astray. And Lord, it's shocking to look back, but hindsight's always 20/20. And Lord, we see the disintegration, and we see the fall, and we see the turmoil, and we see the pain, and we see the ravages of sin. And so, Lord, help us. Help us as a people called by you, a people set apart, a people saved. Help us, Lord. Help us pray that you would turn it around. Help us do the things in our own lives, in our own hearts. Help us speak the truth to people we know, to point them in the right direction. Lord, once this old genie is out of the bottle, this sex taking it outside of marriage, it's so very hard to get it back in. But Lord, you're an awesome God, a powerful God. And we pray for your help in time of trouble. And Lord, you tell us that you can make a way, that you will make a way. So Lord, we're praying for a way for people we know that are struggling in this area, a way for our nation to come back to you. Lord, we're praying for a way. We don't hate these people that are struggling with this sin. We love them. We want to see them healed up, saved up, made whole. So Lord, help us communicate the gospel to them and be there for them. And Lord, even in the midst of their sin, try to encourage them. Lord, thank you that you didn't give up on us. Thank you that your grace kept pursuing us. And thank you that you touched and changed us in such a powerful way. Thank you, Lord, that you still save. And may you use us to help somebody get there. It's in your name we pray, and God's people said, all right, amen. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Don't be Debbie Downer. Amen. Be up on Christ. What is grace? What did we say grace was? Grace is Jesus. That's right. Amen. Help them get there. See you later, online folks. We'll see you next time.